Welcome to TSF Life, a podcast ministry of the Shepherd's Fellowship Church in Marion, Ohio. TSF Life is designed to bring you biblical teaching in a relational way that's easy to apply to your life. Let's join Pastor Tom Hypes as we dive into today's teaching.
So like I said, I've been gone for a little bit. I've been a month and a half with us doing the parks all through May, and then we've been back in the church, but been on the road. And it's time to get back into our study on Philippians, specifically on joy through the letter of Philippians. And since it's been a couple of weeks, and you know I like to do recap anyways, I do want to do a little bit of recap, make sure we're all on the same page as we launch into what we have today. Sound fair? Okay, just seeing what participation level we had there. It was a C minus. Okay, so far in our series, if you look at like the way we normally do recap, we had an introduction to the letter of Philippians. We talked about Paul. We talked about his history of Philippi. We're going to talk about them a little bit more today, so I don't want to give too much details out on that. And then we talked about how to have joy through outreach, joy through humility, and joy through discipleship. And if you missed any of those studies, again, well, usually I say just go to our church website or go, you know, and the podcasts are there because we turn all these into podcasts. But since most of those are in the parks and the video aspect is different, the editing aspect is different, that type of thing, there's not a lot of the sermon podcast into this. So if you've missed these, you can go to our YouTube channel or go back through our Facebook page and watch the replays of the lives. So you get the music and everything, but it won't be in a nice little bundle for you. That'll come back now that we're back in-house. But you still can watch all of those, and all of those are leaning towards the same direction, the same area where Paul's trying to get us to, so that we can live Kingdom of God living. This picture represents that for us, if you've not been here. Kingdom of God living now, when it comes to living by his ways, his promises, his freedom, instead of the worldly way or the lukewarm church way, lukewarm Christian way. And so, but what I want to do for our recap here is really go to the main themes. The main themes that he has been building on are, let's say it's a Florida accent, are all represented in this particular section we're about to read and go through, and brings everything that we've covered into one place. So when it comes to having joy, he has talked to us about the challenges of circumstances, the things that are in our lives that try to steal joy away from us or put our focus in the wrong places, that we're stressed out, maxed out, depressed, want to give up, trying harder, doesn't seem like anything changed. So he talked about the challenges of consequences. He's also talked about the challenges of selfishness, or a selfish way of looking at those circumstances or at life or how we move forward. We're going to talk about that a little bit deeper, even though it's been a recovering, a repeating theme. And then he's also talked about the joy of being steadfast on Christ. These are the three key components that he's going through over and over again, because we need repetition to be able to change things that are part of our life, or part of our sinful DNA, or part of being in the world and the way everybody else does things. He keeps repeating these three things, and then he's going to bring them together. And then next week, we're just going to have a whole other topic. Same thing, but it's like he's given us some examples. He's given us the main gist right here, and then we're going to have one more example at the end. So that's where we're at, and that's where we're headed. So if you want, go ahead and get your Bibles out. We're going to Philippians chapter 4 to continue this letter that Paul wrote to the church of Philippi. If you do not have a Bible, there's Bibles in the baskets underneath the chairs around you that you can keep, borrow, or steal. And YouVersion is back, since I am back. So you can go to YouVersion. It's an online app. It's a free app. It's the number one Bible app in the country, and one of the services in it is live events. When you click live events, then it will give you the different churches in town that use that, and ours is TSF and today's date, and it will give you all the scriptures, a place to take notes. You can do prayer requests. You can do whatever you want there. You can go crazy. So all of those are up and running as we get back into the Word. All right, so let's do that. Read a little, talk a little, just like usual. Okay, I'm going to start out by saying, you know, I don't like a lot of biblical names because they're hard to pronounce. And again, I know I could spend the entire week learning how to pronounce these names and then look really impressive in front of you guys. I don't want to do that. I just rename them. Usually it's the first syllable plus the word I, but I like these names, so we're going to give them a little extra flair, okay? So after all the instruction he's given us so far, after we get all this recap on the tape, he says, I entreat Eunice and Synthesizer. Huh? It works. I know Monica doesn't like it. Why are you sitting like right in front of me instead of the side? Usually I can just kind of, thanks, Mom. I entreat Eunice and I entreat Synthesizer to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of the fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. So far we have, again, talked about circumstances. That's our first block of things that we're looking at. We've talked about Paul's circumstances, okay? We've talked about when he's writing this letter, he is in his last prison time. He is on death row. He could die today, he could die tomorrow, he could die next month. He is very limited physically, and he's very limited with any kind of tools to reach anybody outside of others, like Timothy in this case, writing down letters for him to send out to others. He's not in a joyful circumstance in any way, shape, or form, but yet he's writing this about joy. The Church of Philippi, we looked at that as well. When you look in Acts 16, we went through that our first week. As far as the first time that Paul came to Philippi, it was not a vacation. That he came in, he ministered, he came under persecution for it, he was arrested, they were beaten, they were in jail, they were singing, him and Silas were singing in the jail that night, worship to the Lord. You remember this? The earthquake hit, the entire jail was messed around with, every single shackle, not just theirs, came off. It wasn't a happenstance, it was everybody's freedom. The doors opened up, the jail guy thought, I'm going to be killed for this. And they're like, no, we didn't go anyplace, we're right here. We have full choice of what we're doing. We're still right here. Minister to him, led him to the Lord, led his family to the Lord. The officials who thought that they had the power over them, and so like the next morning, without knowing this, they're like, go tell them they can leave now, get out of our town. They're like, we don't have the power to do that because they're already out. They're gone. They just didn't leave. And then they became like, can you guys please leave town quietly? No, we're not leaving town quietly. You guys made a big ruckus about it. Let's talk about this. I mean, it was a very confrontational, for the right reasons, but a confrontational standpoint. So he's writing in a city that has a lot of struggles, that are not circumstances saying, hey, this is easy joy. But yet he's writing to them about joy. In this moment, he's now gone to a place where he is talking about a particular circumstance within the church between these two ladies, between Eunice and Synthesizer, that they're having some kind of problem there. He says they were united. Did you see him say that? They were united. They were doing the work of the Lord together. But right now there's some kind of divide there that why we've lost through history exactly what the problem was, it does not appear anything to do with doctrine. It's not one believes in hell and one doesn't, or one says you have to be circumcised and the other doesn't. It doesn't have anything doctrine. This is a personal dispute of some sort where these two people were united, and she felt something, and she felt something, and now they're just butting heads. Do you see that? So now there's a circumstance within the church that's going on within this. It's a personal, not a split. But it's risen to the point that it's impacting the church. So I'm not saying that what we're talking about is if I told you I would be at Panera at 10 and I got there at 10:15 and you were annoyed that I held you up for 15 minutes, I apologize and we got over it. This is something that's impacting people. This is something that hasn't been dealt with. And now he's saying to the church and to the true companion, we don't know who the true companion is. That might be a particular person by a nickname of what they're known as. It could be collectively as the church, more likely it was an individual, that it's now a church matter. So when personal things happen, and people lovingly say, hey, what's going on? We see this going on. And you say, it's none of your business, it's my business. You're wrong. I love you. But when it's impacting the church, when it's impacting witnesses, when it's leading towards division and problems within God's unity, it is now a church issue. It doesn't mean everybody gets to talk about it in the back hallways. It just means it needs to be addressed biblically and in the correct way. And in this particular case, there's a good shot that Eunice and Synthesizers are leaders within the church. Because if you go back to Acts 16, who did he minister to first? It wasn't the men. Acts 16 specifically says that he started with the woman. It's because of their time and because of his encouragement of saying, they have done work with me, they have been on the front lines with me. There's a chance that they're leaders within the church in some way, shape, or form, and their personal dispute is now impacting everybody. Which is all good. So not exactly a circumstance that's real joyful. That's basically what we're driving for there. But personal conflicts can impact the whole, and it can become a community issue. And for most of us who have church hurt, which is most of us, or have been hurt by Christians, or hurt by a pastor in the past, can look back at your own personal circumstances and see some of the same common themes. And they weren't dealt with biblically. Or they weren't dealt with head on. Paul is saying head on, guys. Can you imagine getting a letter to the entire church and then your name comes up and it's not exactly a congratulations, you're doing great. You know, he's coming at it directly for a reason. It is a big, big issue. And big issues usually come from little stuff that normally shouldn't matter if we catch it the right way. As you know, I'm a certified church consultant and I work with different churches through different mediums throughout the country in different ways. And this week, one came to me. And I'm not going to share a lot of details because it's actually local. But it's with us as this massive, massive church hurt issue. Because a month and a half ago, somebody did something in their church the way they were supposed to, and in a way that happens at every church, in every country, every Sunday, and somebody wanted to have a fit about it. And in that situation, what I believe, because I've seen it before, is they were probably upset about something else. They probably wanted to leave the church already under another guise, but they knew that it wasn't biblical or honorable to do it, so they were looking for anything else that they could put it on to pretend like they were the victim or the martyr, so when they walk out the door, they feel better about themselves. So I was thinking, okay, so how do I talk about this while talking about it? We have had some of those. I'll tell you one of mine. I remember, just so we have some examples of how this works. It was, we're going to say 12 or 13 years ago, because every time I talk about when Mike became the worship leader, I think I always say 11 years, and I think I've been saying 11 years for like 2 years. Yeah. So 12 or 13 years ago, we had a worship leader position open, and a few people up for it, and including one young lady, and she really wanted it and felt that she deserved it, and that's not the way that it went. Through prayer, through conversation, we gave the invitation to Mike, and thank God we did. We've been blessed by Mike and his family so much over the years. But she wasn't too nuts about it, but if you leave over that, then that looked kind of petty. So we wait about a month, and then her family leaves the church, and I get an email that there's many reasons why they're leaving the church. But there's this one that God has on her heart. I've shared this before, so some of you guys know the story. Really on her heart that God is saying she had to address with me, that I was really messing up. And the reason was is because I would wear graphic T-shirts when I preach. And so the example she used was Disney shirts. I'll use this shirt. I mean, this is Disney Springs or whatnot. But she said if you wear a Disney World shirt, then either people are thinking about their own personal memories of Disney, or they're jealous that you got to go and they got to go, and so they're no longer hearing the word of God. So I know my initial reaction was, but she left, and even up to just a couple of years ago, she's still talking about it in the community, about how messed up I am for wearing Disney World T-shirts. Now, that could have gotten traction and could have gotten more people upset, could have had backroom talks. We've had a situation in our early days where one person had a misunderstanding and they started having secret Booker King meetings on Thursday nights trying to figure out how to get me fired. I mean, they just go from little to big really fast. So what do? You deal with it biblically. I had and did stop, read the letter again, and say, is there anything here that's valid? I did not think so. I could not confirm a concern. So I took it to the elders. Elders, here's the letter. Read it. I'm not going to say anything. Tell me, is there any place of correction or anything I could be doing differently for the ministry in this? They were probably a little bit quicker to say, no, we can't confirm this than I does. And I sent her an email saying, thank you very much for bringing in your concern, and this is the process we followed. We don't confirm that concern, but we do appreciate you bringing it. bringing it forward. So what does that do? With everybody else that asks within the church, we talk about it. If somebody asks in the community, we talk about it. And we don't slam her, and we don't take and make fun of things and whatnot, but we're not going to let Satan use it to be able to get his claw marks into something to be able to split a church or cause church pain. It's something we didn't do well at the beginning, 21 years ago, and it's something that we're getting better about as we keep going. Does that make sense? The littlest things can blow up and destroy. The littlest things can blow up and destroy. So personal conflicts can lead to splits, they can lead to gossip, they can lead to hurt, they can lead to distance, and they can lead to people leaving. And a lot of people leave quickly. The other thing I would say with this, if you come into a situation where you're upset about something and you don't really want to talk it through biblically, or you see somebody else and you're trying to reach out to them and they don't want to, or whatever the case may be, and so you slip out the back door, because in our time, day and age, there's 120 churches in this town. You can go wherever you want. It can be very consumeristic as much as you want to, just wherever you're happy and comfortable. My buddy Jeff Bush at Mount Vernon Avenue Church of Christ, he has an analogy that I like, but he's like me. He believes the Christian community is a family. And if we were just using it as a Sunday morning vehicle only, then we're not getting the fullness of the freedom of God calls us to as a family. And that family should be together. So family should work through things together outside of certain circumstances that are abusive, healthy boundaries, those type of things. And so he compares it to like a Thanksgiving meal. Like if it's Thanksgiving time and you're going to your family Thanksgiving meal, you're probably not going to like everybody that's sitting at the table. There's probably someone that's annoyed you at some point, or somebody that you're going to sit like at the other end or whatnot. But that doesn't mean you don't go to the family meal, because we work things through. If you leave that family meal to go to another family meal, it's usually because of something big, an abusive parent. Maybe there's a difference in beliefs that come up massively in the area of racism, or somebody just won't let your politics go, or whatever the case may be. There's usually something where you say, okay, this is a healthy boundary I'm going to have some distance to. However, what you don't do is, I like our Thanksgiving family, but this family has better mashed potatoes. So I think I'll just go over there and start going to their family because I like their mashed potatoes more. The only danger was I showed that analogy to somebody this week and they said, I really like mashed potatoes. That's not a good example. But often we jump from church to church because we like the mashed potatoes or the corn, or it's better seating, or they have something that my kid likes, or that my kid's friends go there. Well, do they teach the scripture? Do they challenge you? Do they disciple you? Oh, well, we just want to be comfortable. We just want to be home. It's got to be bigger than that. So, and there's other things that can steal your joy as far as conflicts, circumstances, health, physical health, mental health, emotional health, any area of health can cause these type of issues, relational issues, work issues, you name it, financial issues, differences on views, your own personal pride, failure can cause this. They can all kill joy and lead to worry when we're focused on those circumstances. By the way, did you know worry comes from the same word as strangle? And the same, I'm not going Hebrew and Greek on you, this is the English root. Worry equals strangle, and that's exactly how it feels to me. So then he took us back to selfishness. Now, I almost changed selfishness to self-focused, to make it an easier pill to go down. But I'm not going to, because we only deal with things when we deal with things honestly and boldly. It's kind of the same thing. I can't, if I was an alcoholic, what's the first step? Admit that I'm an alcoholic, and I've got to struggle. Selfishness is part of our DNA when it comes to sin. It is. I've had one person, not usually I wait till two or three or whatever, but I can see the point of, like, if it's so far in the series, if I'm talking about selfishness, and you're like, is he calling me selfish? Probably. There's a wicked shot of it. I'm calling myself selfish because that's our normal DNA. By the definition that we set up in the study, the study has said that selfishness is defined as when I am focused on myself and my family and have little left for others. So how I think, what I want, how I spend my money, how I spend my time, how I spend my resources are primarily spent on me and my family, and I have little left for ministry or people who are struggling or other people that the Holy Spirit bring into my life. And I think most of us do that. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not saying you're Ebenezer Scrooge. Ebenezer Scrooge was a jerk. Most of you guys are not jerks. But most of you guys, including me, are like everybody else in the Christmas Carol. because most of the people impacted by Scrooge were worried about how he was making them feel and never spent the time to go through what the three ghosts did to find out his pains, his hurts, and how he needed to be met to be able to have change in his life to become contributing again. That's more than likely where most of us are. It's how does it impact me? Now, I will say we should be more like his nephew. His nephew made fun of him behind his back when he didn't know he was there in ghost form. But he was reaching out to his uncle. He's trying to get him to come to the family. He's trying to move past that, right? Then there's the other guy that I can't remember his name right now, but he's played by Kermit the Frog in the Muppet movie version of it. Who is that? Tiny Tim's dad. Nobody knows Tiny Tim's?
Bob Cratchit.
Thank you, Bob Cratchit. Kermit is awesome. Kermit's trying to reach out, trying to understand him a little bit better, trying to go through those things. But when did everybody come to Scrooge? When Scrooge had a supernatural change in his life and it benefited them. Do you see that? So when I'm talking about selfishness, I'm not talking about this overwhelming joke aspect of things, but I am talking about that focus is mostly on me. It's a self-focus. And we see this with Eunice and Synthesizer. Eunice wants she wants, Synthesizer wants she wants, and they're butting heads. Do you see the circumstance problem? I almost want to say, raise your hand if you know that you're selfish, but I don't, I'm not going to. Okay. Thank you. Love you guys. Some of you guys are wrong. Okay. Here we go. I might have been on the positive side. So here's how he steps into it. Now, I want you to know this next section we're going to read, again, is a continuation of what he just said. This isn't a new block. This is him still speaking about this situation and situations that happen within our lives from a self standpoint. So, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I'll say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, a lot of songs have been written out of this section of it. The context of this section is personal conflict. When you're in this personal conflict, and my true companion, help these women get to it, this is how you fix it, is the original context. So we have a few things here. I didn't put them up on the screen, but if you're a note taker, you can write these down, because again, just underline them in your Bible. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. What does rejoice mean? I can't hear anybody. Rejoice. Rejoice is to do it again. Joyce. Joy. Get joy again. In the middle of all this, rejoice. And it does what? Says it a second time. And we've already said, when Paul especially, but it happens throughout the scripture, if something is repeated, I almost went up my nose. When Paul repeats something twice in one area or more, it's an explanation point. So rejoy is the first step that he would tell you to do. Reclaim that joy. And then, after that, be reasonable. Reasonable is defined as being fair and moderate versus being self-focused. Be reasonable. Know to all. Let that be known to all. You are witnesses of Jesus Christ. He's saying to Eunice and to Synthesizer, you're witnesses of Jesus Christ. More than likely, you're leaders within the church. Can you stop and be reasonable? Can you rejoice in the Lord and be reasonable? And let everybody see that as an example. Let the town see that as an example. Let your reasonableness be done. That's usually my kind of starting point if I'm facilitating a situation with somebody else, right, with two Christians. But where we stop short, because a lot of times you can tell somebody that and they're just like, yeah, but you don't know. You don't know. The Lord is at hand should make you pee your pants a little bit. It should. It's no longer just a conversation between this person and that person, or this group and that group. The Lord's standing there watching you. The Lord's going to fix this one way or the other, and you can either be an agreeable partner to that, or he can give you a spanking, and it's not fun to get spanked. He can lay you out to make you look up. It's not fun. The quicker you can get down the ground instead of being knocked down like Saul, the better it is for you and for the people and for your witness and everything involved, instead of this continuing lack of joy of being upset, trying to be, I'm right, you're wrong, I'm allowed to have my opinion, all this other stuff. The Lord is watching it, and he's going to move with it. So you can't stay focused on the stuff that's going to put you in that ballpark. So then we have the third part, steadfastness. Steadfastness on Jesus. This is what he tells us to do. Anxiety goes away, if you're a note taker, listen to this, or underline in your Bible, through prayer first. It's one of the things he talks about, is prayer. Some of us do not rely on prayer enough, and it is one of the most powerful weapons and gifts that we have from our Lord. And some of us waste prayer, which honestly, he wants to hear everything you've got to say as a child. But a lot of times, for me, if I'm anxious, it ends up just being a grocery list of things I want him to do. And I really waste the power that's there of doing it in his name and according to his will. But if we are honest with God as we're talking to him about how we're feeling, how we're thinking, and saying, this is everything I've got on your table, help me, one, to see your way, and two, understand theirs. Help there to be unity and harmony within the body of Christ. You pray like that, you can't stay in the I'm right, you're wrong, and I'm not going to talk to you, I'm going to sit on the side of the church from you. It just doesn't work. Prayers are one of the weapons of that anxiety of moving it forward. Second one is thanksgiving. He says there, thanksgiving. Remember that old hymn for those who weren't raised in this church? I love hymns, don't get me wrong, I just don't remember if we've ever done it here, but I heard it all the time, count your many blessings, count them one by one. Right? It works. It works. It just to get your focus off of what you just cannot get out of your mind. We were at Emily's conference. The first weekend we went to Florida, it was a conference for aesthetics. And there was a guy doing a talk. And some of the classes I went to with her, I didn't go to many because they were over my head. And a couple I went to proved that was true. But this guy was talking about something, and he's like an activity, like when you're dealing with anxiety, and he was talking about cells. Like if you're dealing with anxiety, he was like, you just stand up, take something in your hand, just kind of pass it back and forth, and start thinking about what you wish you were thinking instead of what you are thinking. And just saying that through that it's like a coping mechanism, and it helps you reshape and retrain your mind to go in that direction. And it actually did. I don't know if it's 100%. Jesus does better for me, but that mindfulness helped quite a bit. I think the same thing happens with Thanksgiving. If you actually refocus on Thanksgiving, you train your brain not to be so anxious about things that are probably outside your control anyways, if you're not contributing to them. But to refocus ourselves on Thanksgiving makes a big difference. I think Paul's right on that. And then the third one is supplication. Third one is supplication. Not a word we use a whole heck of a lot, but it basically means begging earnestly with humility. Beg God with humility. His will be done, not yours. He'll listen to you until you can't talk anymore about how upset you are and how you feel about a topic. But supplication is when you say, okay, there it all is, God. Now, help me. I need you. I can't do this by myself. I don't want to be a person that's causing pain. I don't want them causing me pain. How do we move past this together? And honestly, this is just a side note, if we don't recognize, including myself, that we're selfish, we'll never get to the voice in James 4:10 that we keep talking about, that when you humble yourself before the Lord, he lifts you up. I can't humble myself if I don't realize I need humbled. Right? So, he raises you up. It's a promise. By the way, do you believe in the Bible? Okay, so if you humble yourself, he will exalt you. It's a promise. And then you're going to start seeing some real changes of things. You're going to see the peace of God, according to this, that passes all understanding, which that's only true if you're in a really crappy situation, right? So peace of God that passes all understanding, and he will guard your heart and mind, how? In Jesus. That's why we need to be steadfast in him. So these three, once again, I would invite you, as we go into response time, to personalize what he is saying generically to everybody, because it impacts everybody. What circumstances are you going through in your life that still kill and destroy the joy of Christ in your day-to-day walk? Name them, capture them. Let the Holy Spirit say, hey, you've been ignoring this for a while, but it's time for us to talk about it and take it to the forefront for a few moments. Who makes you just want to pull your hair out if you have hair still? What circumstance do you think there was just no way in heaven or hell I'm going to be able to pay these bills? I know that I need to trust God in this area, this area, and this area, but the world's telling me there's just no way. There's no way I can tithe. There's no way I can volunteer. There's no way I can do anything that God's calling me to because Satan has got it in my head from a worldly standpoint. I can't do that or everything's going to fall apart. Capture that area. So we talk about these areas a lot. And when I talk to people that are struggling and they sat through them, a lot of times they're still struggling and they really haven't grabbed those practices. This is freedom we're talking about. This is freedom that he wants you to have, telling you how to have and promises you to have. But if we focus on ourselves and you find yourself saying a lot of things like, I just got to pull it together. I got to pull up my big boy pants. We've got to figure this out without any thought about how Jesus would act in that aspect. It's nobody's business but ours. If you're in a family that's nobody's business but ours, can I ask you just to challenge that a little bit? And maybe those people that have godly wisdom outside that circle. I'm not saying everybody's business is everybody's business. But when you say, it is my business and that's it, you're probably having some struggles. So we take our focus off of our what I can do about it, and I go steadfast on Christ. I get into the Word. I get into His promises. I actually believe His promises. I actually act on His promises. I dig into His community, and I dig into unity in that community instead of, I have my rights. Brother, sister, I have my rights according to certain guidelines and certain principles. I gave up my rights for Jesus Christ. And when my steadfastness goes there, then we start seeing unity. So, I'll tell you what. I don't know. Did I skip a bunch of stuff? Probably. I don't know. I think the Spirit's got what He wants. I'm going to stop there.
If you were blessed by today's teaching, we hope you return for our next podcast. Or, better yet, stop by the Shepherd's Fellowship any Sunday morning to join us live. You can learn more about the church by calling 740-382-3500 or check us out online by going to tsflife.com. That's tsflife.com. You can also support the ministry of TSF Life by donating at our church website or sending support to the Shepherd's Fellowship, 1647 Marion, Marysville Road, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Thank you for spending your time with us today, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Be blessed.